closed for now.
Chapter 6. After being back home for a little more than a week, Leo had gotten used to her mother and Holly having lively conversations over breakfast. But apparently, Holly didn't work weekends, so on Saturday morning, breakfast in the Blake household was a rather quiet affair. "So," her mother said, for the third time trying to draw Leo into a conversation, "how is your career going?" Leo took her time chewing and swallowing a bit of biscuit. Her anger at her mother had faded, but not being told about her father's first stroke still hurt.
"Pretty well."
"Yeah?" Her mother's gaze revealed that she expected her to elaborate on that.
"Yeah, most concerts of my tour were sold out."
Leo peered over at her father to see if that got a reaction out of him, but he continued eating without showing the slightest interest in the conversation.
"Oh, that's good," her mother said. "So you're happy?"
"Well, there's always room for improvement. We didn't quite fill the Manchester arena, but my manager says the Brits can be a tough audience for an American singer."
"No, I mean, are you happy? Not just with the last tour, but with your life overall?"
"I guess so. I'm living my dream, aren't I?"
Was she asking her mother or herself? Leo no longer knew. A smile spread over her mother's face.
"You certainly are. Your father always said music is in your blood. I remember your first concert when you were 8. The violin looked so big in your little hands, but you stood on the stage with an earnest expression, and you blew them all away. Oh, your father was so proud, weren't you, Gilbert?"
He grunted.
"Yeah, proud, right."
Her father had no longer been proud when a few years later she had wanted to get a guitar and play pop instead of classical music. For him, the guitar was not a serious instrument, and he had refused to come to any of the gigs she and her band played. Even though she'd lost her appetite, she shoved the rest of her biscuit into her mouth, just to be done with breakfast. But her mother took her time. She broke open another biscuit and ladled gravy over it.
"I haven't heard you play since you've been home."
"I played 118 concerts in the past 13 months,"
Leo answered.
"It's time for a break."
Her mother reached across the table and squeezed her hand.
"I'm glad you're taking a little time off. You're welcome here for as long as you want."
Leo nodded, but if her mother was looking for some indication on how long she intended to stay, she couldn't give her one, because she didn't know either. Part of her wanted to leave Fair Oaks as soon as possible, but where would she go? If she returned to New York, she would be sucked back into the never-ending maelstrom of concerts, interviews, and recording sessions. Maybe spending a little more time in Fair Oaks was exactly what she needed to clear her head and figure out why her life felt more and more like a straitjacket. Her mother swiped a piece of biscuit through a puddle of gravy.
"What are you going to do tonight?"
"Do?"
Leo repeated. That was the thing about Fair Oaks. There was very little to do on a Saturday night. As teenagers, their only entertainment had been hanging out at the diner until they were kicked out because Ruth wanted to close, or cruising up and down Main Street once they were old enough to drive.
"Yes, it's Saturday after all. Do you have any plans?"
"Actually, yes."
But Leo wasn't sure her mother even knew what Netflix was. Her plans for tonight involved holing up in a room with her laptop and binge-watching her favorite TV show, Central Precinct. At least the writers of the crime show knew better than to kill off their lesbian characters, or to have one of them cheat on the other.
"I'm probably just going to stay in and watch some TV. Touring made me miss a lot of episodes I need to catch up on."
Her mother waved dismissively.
"Well, you could watch TV now and go see your friends tonight. Holly said some of them are getting together at the bar."
"In half an hour, I'm meeting with the guys putting in the new sink in Dad's bathroom, and I want to look into a less steep ramp for him. Besides, I don't have any friends here, Mom."
Her mother shoved her now empty plate back.
"Nonsense, of course you have friends. There's Jenny and Travis and..."
"Jenny?"
Leo snorted.
"We've never been friends, don't you remember? She was the one who outed me in front of..."
"I remember."
Her mother held up her hand like a shield against the spoken words.
What about Ashley?
There was no denying that she and Ash had been friends, or maybe more. The jury was still out on that, and Leo didn't want to linger on what-ifs. Still, she couldn't deny that the mention of Ash's name stirred old feelings deep inside of her.
Does she still live around here?
Oh, yes, she never left. Didn't you keep in touch?
Leo shook her head.
No, we... I guess our lives were just too different. Is she married?
No. There were rumors a while ago, but...
Her mother compressed her lips into a razor-sharp line.
I don't think she's in a relationship. She bought the old Smotherman place a few years back. You remember that little red house at the edge of town, the one with the white shutters?
Ash's shutters weren't what interested her.
Rumors?
She asked instead.
It's nothing. You know how people can be.
Her mother rose and started to clear the table.
Let me do it,
Leo said. On Holly's days off, the burden of taking care of her father was mostly on her mother. Guilt scratched at her conscience, but she couldn't imagine taking over his daily care. Not that her father wanted her to. He had rejected any help from her so far. But helping out with household chores was something she could do.
Thank you.
Her mother set the dishes back down. She released the brake on the wheelchair and started pushing him toward his room. Over her shoulder, she asked,
So are you going?
Guess I am,
Leo said. Her mother wouldn't be satisfied until she agreed to meet her classmates, and admittedly, she was curious to see what had become of Ashley. As soon as Leo got out of her rental car, she felt half a dozen pairs of eyes on her. Most of the stores along Main Street were already closed, but a few locals were still out and about, and now they watched her every move as she crossed the street. A young man hastened his steps to catch up with her.
Miss Blake?
She turned, expecting to be asked for yet another autograph.
My name is Billy Neff. I'm a reporter for the Fair Oaks Ledger.
He flashed his press card.
I normally wouldn't stop you on the street, but I tried to reach you all week, and I, was wondering if you would be willing to give me an interview.
He barely looked old enough to write for anything but the school paper. Clearly, he was hoping a homecoming story about Jenna Blake would boost his career. She suppressed a sigh.
Listen, I was hoping to fly under the radar as much as I can while I'm here, but if you promise not to print anything about me for the moment, I'd be willing to sit down with you and answer any questions before I leave.
His eyes lit up.
Oh, sure, we could...
Her phone rang, and she wasn't surprised to see Saul's name on the display. He had emailed her the contract for A Star Is Born a few days ago, and now he probably wanted to know why she hadn't looked at it yet.
Do you have a card?
She asked the young reporter. When he handed it over, she put it away before giving him a nod and picking up the phone.
Hi, Saul. I've been meaning to call you, but the cell phone reception in town is really shitty. Have you looked at the contract? Not yet. I'm still not sure a show like that is something I want to do. Are you kidding? It's targeting your key demographics. But the show is not about the music. It's more like a popularity contest with fake drama and... Who cares?
Saul said.
It'll get you in front of millions of viewers.
I know. Sorry, Saul, but I've got to go. I'm meeting with a reporter. It wasn't a total lie, and Saul didn't need to know the interview wasn't today. She ended the call. A few more steps brought her to the door of Johnny's Bar and Grill, where she paused. Already she began to regret letting herself be talked into coming. Was it too late to turn back? Without warning, someone ran into her from behind, knocking her forward. She turned her face at the last moment to avoid having her nose smashed against the bar's front door.
What the...
When she turned around, the curse died on her lips, and her annoyance faded. Holly stood in front of her, red hair adorably mussed as if she'd been running her hands through it.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I was looking down at my phone for a second to make sure I didn't miss any calls from your mom, so I didn't see you. I didn't mean to run into you, literally.
We seem to be making a habit of that,
Leo said with a smile, remembering how it felt to hold on to Holly when they had collided on her first morning back home.
Yeah. Are you here to meet the gang, too?
Leo nodded.
and my mother practically kicked me out of the house. Apparently there's a quota of locals I have to meet before she'll let me back in.
Holly chuckled.
My family's the same. They insisted that I tag along with Zack, even though I wasn't in your class.
Where is your brother?
Probably already inside, halfway through his first beer. I was running a little late.
A hint of a blush colored her cheeks. Peering through the glass, Leo scanned the bar.
Is it too late to turn back?
It won't be so bad. Come on.
Holly reached around her and pushed the door open. Her arm brushed Leo's shoulder, and her perfume teased Leo's nose as Holly stepped past her. Now there really was no escape. As soon as she followed Holly in, a chorus of shouts erupted from the back of the room, where her former classmates had commandeered the corner booth. Jenny and her husband Travis, Zack, Chris, and Ashley were crowded around the table.
"Well, well, if it isn't Leo Blake!"
Travis called.
"Or is it Jenna Blake now?"
Lately, she had begun to ask herself the same question. That was the one good thing about being back in Fair Oaks. She got to reconnect with the part of her that was just Leo.
Leo's fine.
Ashley and Zack, who sat at the ends of the horseshoe-shaped booth, scooted to the side to make room at the table for Holly and Leo. Even though Ashley was closer, Holly chose to sit next to her brother. Leo glanced back and forth between Ash and Holly. Was there some bad blood between them? As far as she knew, they hadn't hung out in high school.
"So good to see you," Zack said. "Sit down and tell us all about the glorious celebrity life."
"Gee, Zack,"
Holly elbowed him in the ribs.
"Let the poor woman order first."
Yeah, Leo definitely needed a beer or 10 to survive this evening. After a moment's hesitation, she squeezed in next to Holly. While she was curious about how Ashley had fared since graduation, keeping her distance might be a good idea.
Speaking of distance, or lack thereof,
she was very aware of the way Holly's breast pressed into her arm. Well, in these close quarters, it couldn't be avoided.
"What do you want?"
Chris asked.
"Looks like Johnny's busy, so let me get your drinks or it'll take forever."
"I thought you worked at the diner?"
Leo asked.
"I do, but I help out at the bar every now and then, too, so what can I get you?"
His gaze lingered on Holly, not on her. It should have been a relief. She got enough attention anywhere she went, but his puppy-eyed look got on her nerves.
"Thanks," Holly said. "Bud Light for me, please."
"Do you have Blue Moon?"
Leo asked. He shook his head.
"No, but we have Boulevard Wheat on tap."
"Sounds good, thanks."
Ashley stood to let Chris out of the booth, and he marched off toward the bar. Everyone at the table stared at Leo, so she had ample opportunity to study them, too. Well, there really was only one person she was looking at. Ashley Gaines. Usually, when people said someone hadn't changed a bit since high school, it was a bold-faced lie. But Ash really looked like the gorgeous girl she'd had a huge crush on. Her curves had filled out, but her hair, the same color as the wheat on her father's fields in summer, still reached down to her waist, and she still exuded that farm girl innocence. Back then, she'd been class president and homecoming queen, and Leo wouldn't be surprised if she became the mayor of town one day, or ended up being married to the mayor. Ash looked up from the label of the beer bottle she'd been scratching at with her thumbnail. She smiled at Leo, but it was the polite smile you gave an acquaintance you hadn't seen in more than a decade. Maybe Leo was nothing more to her after all those years. She couldn't read Ash anymore.
"I can't believe you're back," Ash said. "I'm not back, I'm just visiting for a while."
She wasn't here to stay, and she wanted to make that clear from the get-go.
"You look stunning,"
Travis said, drawing her attention away from Ash. A deep frown settled on Jenny's face, and she dug her elbow into her husband's ribs.
"Thanks."
Leo gave him a stiff grin.
"I've been eating my vegetables."
Chris returned with their beers, and everyone moved together to make room for him, bringing Leo into even closer contact with Holly's body to her left. It distracted her so much that she even looked away from Ash.
"No need to ask what you've been up to for the last dozen years," Zack said.
We've all been following your career. Must be pretty exciting to jet all over the world, get to see Paris, Rome, and all those fancy places.
Leo snorted.
All I usually get to see are the airports, my hotel room, and the backstage area. And trust me, they look the same all over the world. Nothing exciting about that.
Oh yeah, you lead such a boring life. As if I'd believe that for a minute.
Travis slid to the edge of his seat and leaned across the table.
Is it true that pop stars like you have groupies that throw themselves at you in every city?
Only in your fantasies.
Leo took a sip of beer and then wiped a bit of foam off her upper lip.
Whatever you read in the tabloids, it's hopelessly exaggerated.
Travis eyed her over his beer bottle. Probably not his first one of the evening, she suspected.
Nuh-uh, you're holding out on us. Come on, tell us. What's your craziest groupie story?
I don't have one.
Sure, there were always groupies around, but she wasn't interested in the men, and after her first few months on tour, she had learned to stay away from the women, too. They didn't really want her. They wanted the idea of her, and the bragging rights of being able to say they had slept with Jenna Blake. It got old real fast.
No juicy stories.
Travis was almost whining now.
Cut it out, Travis. She said no.
It was Holly who had come to her rescue. Even though she was the youngest, Travis seemed to listen to her. He finally shut up and focused on his beer. Leo raised her glass to Holly and nodded a thank you.
Let's not talk about me all night. My life isn't half as interesting as you might think. So, what have you guys been up to since graduation?
Would you believe I'm an insurance agent?
Zack said.
Sounds, interesting.
It pays the bills. I've got a family to feed.
He whipped out his phone to show off photos of his wife and kids.
I'm pumping for a living,
Travis said with a smirk and some provocative hip movements. God, this guy was really getting on her nerves. He hadn't gotten any more mature since their high school days.
He means he's working at the gas station at the edge of town.
Holly rolled her eyes.
And I own the flower and gift store across the street,
Ashley said.
It's small, but it's all mine.
Are you still playing the keyboard?
Leo asked. Ash peered down at the table, then back up.
No, I gave that up. Along with women?
But then again, if you didn't count that one kiss on prom night, Ashley had never allowed herself to become involved with a woman, at least not as far as Leo knew. Jenny started to talk about her part-time job at the corner grocery store. Leo nodded in all the right places, but her mind was on the past.
Tell us more about yourself,
Ashley said after a while.
We all know each other's stories, but we only know what the tabloids are writing about you. Not that it's much about your private life, mind you.
Leo shrugged.
Being on the road for most of the year doesn't leave much time for a private life.
Is there a man in your life?
Ash asked.
Oh, please. You mean woman?
Leo looked her in the eyes. Ashley had been the first person she had come out to, and the first girl she had kissed. Why pretend that Leo was interested in men, even though the entire world knew different? Ash fiddled with a loose corner of the beer label.
Yeah. Not right now. Not for some time, actually. Like I said, life as a recording artist doesn't lend itself to a successful relationship. How about you?
The label nearly ripped off the bottle as Ash's fingers slipped.
Me? No, I'm single.
Chris sighed into his beer.
Me too.
The others at the table laughed.
Yeah, and we all know who you're holding out for.
Travis thumped him on the back.
Forget it, man. You don't have the right appendages for Zack's little sister.
Blushing to the roots of his crew cut, Chris lowered his head.
Seems to be a lot of that going on around here.
He peered from Holly to Leo.
And let's not forget our perfect Miss Homecoming Queen,
Travis threw in. For several seconds, everyone at the table froze and sat in silence. Someone's shoe squealed across the floor.
What's that supposed to mean?
Jenny asked. The others muttered in confusion. while Leo stared at Ashley, who looked as if she were facing a serial killer who came at her with an axe.
Oh, come on, didn't anyone notice?
Travis looked at each of his friends in turn.
Notice what?
Chris asked.
A couple years back, Holly's car was sometimes parked in front of Ash's place all night long. What'd you think they were doing, braiding each other's hair?
Travis slapped the table and roared with laughter. Leo stared along with everyone else. Holly and Ashley?
Holy fuck.
She hadn't seen that coming. So her gaydar hadn't been off. Holly was a lesbian or bi, and so was Ashley, the crush of all her teenage years. Zack had gone pale.
You better watch your mouth, buddy. You're talking about my sister.
I'm only telling the truth that the rest of you are too blind to see,
Travis muttered.
Ash? Jenny whispered. Is it true? Are you like Holly and Leo?
Ashley let out a nervous chuckle.
He's imagining things. It's called wishful thinking. You know that thing guys have about two women together? If one woman so much as hugs another, it gets their little fantasies going.
Holly didn't say anything. She sat without looking at Ashley, her back ramrod straight, and took a big swig of her beer.
Holly?
Zack said.
That's all it is, right? You and Ash weren't... I mean, if you were, you would have told us, right?
She focused her glacier blue gaze on him.
I've already got enough on my plate dealing with my own sexual orientation. I can't speak for anyone else. If Ash says she's straight, you'll just have to trust her.
Yeah,
Chris said.
She should know, right?
The others laughed, but the lighthearted atmosphere from before was gone. Leo sat with her head turned toward Holly, still watching her. They didn't really believe her, did they? Had no one else seen that flash of hurt in her eyes when Ash had denied being involved with her?
So, is anyone up for a game of pool?
Zack nodded toward the lone pool table in the back. Ash finished her beer with one long pull.
Not tonight. I'd better head home. I have to get up early tomorrow.
Oh, come on, Ash. Tomorrow's Sunday.
Well, you know how it is. A store owner's work is never done. I'll beat your ass at pool next week.
Ash tucked two bills beneath her empty bottle and stood. She was out the door before anyone else could protest. Holly's gaze followed her. She looked as if she would have loved to leave, too, either to confront Ashley or to go home and nurse her wounds. But she didn't. She let herself be dragged to the back of the room and proceeded to clear the pool table. Leo leaned on her cue and watched her. She couldn't help admiring her, and it wasn't just because of the way her jeans pulled tight over her butt whenever she bent over the table. Would she have held up so well if she and Ashley had gotten together and Ashley had denied her in public?
Earth to Leo,
Zack called. Leo wrenched her gaze away from his sister.
Hmm? You're up. Unless, of course, your dainty little celebrity fingers are only good for holding a mic, not a cue stick these days.
Leo strode to the head of the table and racked the balls.
Watch these dainty little celebrity fingers beat your ass, Drummond. Drive carefully,
Zack called as he unlocked his car.
I've had one beer, and it's not like I'll have to drive halfway across the state.
Holly appreciated his concern, but sometimes his big brother routine was just too much. Or maybe she had run out of patience after the stunt Ash had pulled. He held up his hands.
Just saying.
He got in and drove off. Travis and Jenny waved goodbye and climbed into their pickup. Chris shuffled his feet and jingled his keys.
Guess I'll see you next Saturday.
She nodded, too tired to make small talk. When he got into his car and pulled away from the curb, the only one remaining behind was Leo.
Come on, I'll walk you to your car.
You don't need to, Holly said. I'm parked right across the street.
Well, then we're headed the same way anyway, because I'm parked right behind you.
They crossed the street in silence. Holly unlocked the Jeep and opened the driver's side door before turning back around. In the light of the single street lamp, the golden highlights in Leo's hair looked like silver. She shoved both her hands into her jeans pockets and tilted her head.
So, you and Ashley, hmm?
And here she had hoped she would be able to make her escape without anyone bringing it up again. But of course Leo wouldn't let it go. Holly clenched her fist around the car keys.
Leo, I...
Don't bother denying it. It's really not fair of her to force you to lie for her.
Holly's defensive posture deflated. No, it wasn't fair at all. She had taken a huge risk by coming out to her family and living her life openly, despite the small-town mentality some of their neighbors held toward anyone who wasn't straight. Leo's coming out years ago had paved the way, but it still hadn't been easy. Finally, after a couple of tense situations, she felt as if she had weathered the storm, only to be forced back into the closet by Ash's insecurities.
Yeah, I don't like it, but if she ever comes out, it has to be her decision. I can't force it on her.
So you're still dating?
God, no, that's old news. We only saw each other for a few months after I got back home from college. I have no idea why Travis brought it up now.
I take it didn't end well?
Holly grimaced.
You could say that.
No wonder. Ash seems to be so deeply in the closet she's finding next year's Christmas presents.
Despite her tension, Holly couldn't help chuckling.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. Well, not just that. Of course, her reluctance to even be seen with me didn't help, but there were other issues as well.
Leo nodded, but didn't ask what they were, as if sensing that Holly didn't want to talk about it. Holly was grateful for that silent understanding.
You didn't seem very surprised when Travis said, well... You know what he said about me and Ash.
Oh, I was surprised. Somehow I can't see the two of you making a good couple.
Then you're wiser than me, Holly said, suppressing a sigh. Wait a minute. That's what surprised you? That Ash and I got together, but not that we like women?
I had a feeling about you.
And about Ash, too?
You could say that.
There was something in her voice. That voice that could effortlessly express a range of emotions in her songs. Holly squinted at her.
You don't mean...
No, she couldn't possibly mean that, could she? Leo sighed.
Let's just say you and I have more in common than our awesome pool skills.
You and Ash?
Holly's voice cracked like that of a teenage boy, so she paused and cleared her throat.
You've been together?
No, it never went that far.
All we shared was one kiss. One pretty hot kiss, she added with a crooked grin.
On prom night. Didn't she ever mention it when you were together?
No, she never talked about you, period. I thought you and she had some sort of falling out, so I didn't force it.
Falling out?
Leo murmured.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. She didn't have the courage to face what had happened between us. After that night, I only saw her one more time. I asked her to come to New York with me, but she told me it was just one kiss and didn't mean anything. She was straight. Or so she said.
Holly snorted.
Yeah, right.
Only one of them had been eager to have sex, and it hadn't been Holly. She leaned on the open car door and watched Leo.
I still can't believe we kissed the same woman.
Leo gave an exaggerated shiver.
Pretty weird, right? But I guess that's what happens if you grow up in a small town with only three lesbians.
Strictly speaking, it was two lesbians and one asexual who was romantically attracted to women, but that distinction didn't matter at the moment.
Yeah, things can get messy when your dating pool is the size of a puddle.
Leo's laughter rang out into the night.
More like the size of a shot glass.
That reminded Holly that she really wanted a drink after the debacle with Ash. For a moment, she wondered whether she should ask Leo to come.
Haven't you learned anything? That's so not a good idea.
Inviting a woman home for a drink could easily lead to her jumping to conclusions, and she had reached her limit of drama for the night. She lifted one foot to climb into her Jeep.
See you on Monday,
Leo said.
Drive carefully.
For some reason, it didn't annoy her when Leo said it.
Will do.
About to close the door, she remembered something. Oh, wait, what do you want for breakfast?
Breakfast?
Yeah, you know, the meal people usually eat in the morning. Holly added a smile so Leo would know she was teasing.
Thanks for the expert definition, Ms. Merriam-Webster. I know what it is. Are you buying?
Yes, I bring breakfast most Mondays, so your mother doesn't always have to make it. So, bagel, croissant, blueberry muffin?
Are you going to Slice of Heaven?
Holly nodded. It was the only bakery in town, after all. My baking skills are a bit... let's just say my baking is about as good as my singing.
So I shouldn't hire you as a background singer anytime soon?
Leo asked with a grin. Only if you want to end your career. Something flickered across Leo's face, but it was gone before Holly could identify it. Probably just an effect of the street lamp's dim light.
If you're stopping by Slice of Heaven, I'd love to have one of their apricot orange cream scones. It's one of the few things I miss in New York.
Yum, good choice. They're my favorite, too. Holly's mouth watered.
Then it's established. We're women of good taste. Well, maybe except for our taste in women.
They chuckled, and Holly marveled at the fact that she could laugh about it, especially so soon after Ashley had basically called the thought of them together ridiculous. After a quick wave, she closed the door and started the engine. She waited until Leo had gotten into her rental car before she pulled away from the curb.
Leo and Ash.
She shook her head.
Who would have thought?
Chapter 7. When Holly entered Slice of Heaven on Monday morning, the scent of freshly baked bread and pastries made her sniff appreciatively. Her friend Sasha came around the counter and bent her 6-foot-something frame to give her a hug. As always, she smelled of cinnamon.
Good morning.
Morning. Holly looked around the bakery. Are you the only one manning the fort today?
Nah, Auntie May is in the back, keeping an eye on my raspberry twists.
Holly chuckled.
Still can't keep her away?
Nope. She says they'll have to carry her out on a gurney one day,
Sasha said with a fond smile. She stepped back behind the counter.
So, what can I get you today? The usual?
No, not today.
Holly eyed the pastries, cupcakes, pies, and breads on display.
Could you give me 2 cinnamon rolls, 2 mini quiches, 2 blueberry scones, and 3 apricot orange cream scones, please?
Sasha let out a low whistle.
So Leo actually has my pastries for breakfast?
What?
Holly chuckled.
You think she'd have half a grapefruit?
Kind of. I mean, she's so... tiny.
Sasha held her hands about 1/2 foot apart to indicate Leo's size. Holly opened her mouth, then snapped it shut, surprised at the impulse to defend Leo. Admittedly, compared to Sasha's solid frame, Leo might look tiny, even at 5'10", but Holly liked her lithe, graceful build.
She actually loves your apricot orange cream scones.
Really? Auntie May will be happy to hear that. It's her recipe, after all.
Most of the people in Holly's life would have made a comment such as, "Ooh, a woman after your own heart." Her other friends, especially the ones who were married or in a relationship, tended to ask about her love life all the time, constantly nudging her to find the one. But not Sasha. Sasha was happily single and proclaimed herself far too busy for a relationship. Hanging out with her was like a mini-vacation from all the pressure and the expectations her well-meaning family and friends put on her. That and the fact that they both worked unusual hours had cemented their friendship. They made plans to go to St. Joe for an early movie on Sunday, while Sasha put the baked goods into a white paper box with the bakery's logo, handling them carefully as if they were precious pieces of art. Holly put some money on the counter and carried the box to the door.
I'll pick you up after lunch with the family.
Sasha wisely didn't even try to suggest that she should drive.
See you Sunday.
An hour later, Holly nearly wished it was the weekend already. Despite having the mini quiches he loved for breakfast, Gil had been grumpy all morning. When she came into his room to help him with his exercises, he told her no, the only word he could speak clearly and without having to search for it. For a moment, Holly thought that Leo might have told her parents about Holly's relationship with Ashley, and that had put him in such a bad mood, but she rejected the thought immediately. No one in town had any idea about the kiss the two had shared 14 years ago, so Leo knew how to keep her mouth shut. She didn't seem the type to indulge in gossip or out other people.
"We had a bit of a rough night," Sharon said as she joined them. "He had to get up 3 times, and the last time I was a bit too slow to wake up, so he,
Oops. Holly didn't comment so she wouldn't embarrass Gil any further. He was already glaring at his wife. Leo peeked into the room but didn't enter.
"Why didn't you call me? I could have helped."
"It was fine. I didn't want to disturb you. But if you want to help, why don't you go over and play something for your father?"
Sharon pointed to the living room where an antique-looking baby grand stood.
"You could play some Pachelbel. That always cheers him up."
Leo leaned in the doorway, looking as grumpy as her father, and made no move toward the living room.
"I haven't played that in ages. Probably forgot how to."
Gil let out a snort.
"Sports,"
he got out while glaring at them all.
"Go. Alone."
Leo's gaze flicked toward Holly as if she were a translator.
"He wants you to leave us alone so we can do his leg and arm exercises."
Without comment, Leo turned and walked away. Holly listened, thinking that maybe she would change her mind and play some music for her father after all, but everything remained quiet in the living room. Leo lay in bed, arms folded behind her head, and listened to what her father had always called the country song, the chirping of crickets and cicadas filtering in through the closed window. Every now and then an owl hooted in the pine tree next to the house. It was as soothing as an all-time favorite song, but Leo still couldn't sleep. It was 3 o'clock and she was wide awake. Her brain wouldn't shut up. Thoughts of her career, her father, Holly, and Ash tumbled through her mind in a chaotic swirl. She stared across the room at the shadowy contours of her guitar case in the corner. In the past, holding her guitar, feeling the familiar strings beneath her fingers, had always calmed her. But lately, her music had lost its soothing effect on her, maybe because it was no longer the one sure thing in her life. Now it just added more questions that she didn't have answers for. The owl hooted again.
"Woo-hoo to you two,"
Leo muttered. She swung her legs out of bed and padded downstairs for a glass of water, barefoot and wearing only a tank top and a pair of boxer shorts. Since she still knew each step to the kitchen by heart, she didn't bother turning on the light. In the hall, she collided with something warm and soft. Cursing, she stumbled back and crashed into the wall. Ouch! She rubbed her hip bone. That would leave a nasty bruise. She reached for the light switch and squinted against the sudden flare of light. One hand pressed to the opposite wall, Holly stood in front of her and shaded her eyes with the other. They stared at each other.
"God!"
Leo's heart hammered against her ribs. She blew out a breath and rubbed her hip.
"You scared the crap out of me."
"Ditto."
Holly pressed a flat palm to her chest. Unlike Leo, she was fully dressed.
"What are you doing up?"
they asked at the same time.
"Your father needed to use the bathroom, and I didn't want to wake up the entire house by turning on the light in the hall," Holly said.
"Same here. About the light, I mean. I wanted a glass of water."
"That sounds good," Holly said. "Could I have one too?"
"Of course. You don't have to ask. You practically live here, and I'm just visiting."
They tiptoed to the kitchen. Not that it was doing any good after the ruckus they'd made. They were really making a habit of colliding, Leo thought with a grin. Instead of filling a glass with water from the tap, Leo spontaneously took a carton of milk from the fridge.
"Want some milk instead?"
"Sure, thanks."
Leo poured them both a glass of milk.
"Oh, I think there are some scones left over from this morning."
"Scones? Now?"
"Is there ever a bad time for scones?"
Leo asked. A smile dimpled Holly's cheeks.
"Good point."
Leo climbed onto a stool next to Holly.
"What's that?"
She nodded down at a cordless receiver that Holly had placed on the breakfast bar.
"A baby monitor."
"Baby?" Leo stared at her.
"Don't tell me you've got a kid."
Laughter burst from Holly's chest, and she muffled it behind her hand.
No, it's for your father. He's got the transmitter in his room, and either your mother and I keep the receiver with us at all times. That's how we know when he needs us.
Leo felt a little stupid for not knowing that. But then again, why should she? They shared a blueberry scone and the last apricot orange cream scone, creating a mess of crumbs all around them as they broke them in half. Holly tore off little pieces and put them in her mouth. For the first time, Leo noticed that she was wearing a black ring on the middle finger of her right hand. Isn't that... She stopped chewing and stared. One of her dancers wore the same type of ring, and when she had asked him about it, he had explained that it was a symbol for his swinger lifestyle. Did that mean Holly was a swinger, too? Somehow she couldn't imagine it. Holly probably just liked how it looked and had no idea what it could mean. She thought about enlightening her, but then decided against it. No one in a small town like Fair Oaks would know what it meant either, so it wasn't as if the ring could cause any problems for Holly. Neither of them said much besides yum until the scones were gone. Finally, all that remained was a single crumb that clung to Holly's bottom lip. As Leo watched, she flicked out her tongue and licked it away. Had it suddenly gotten hotter? She resisted the urge to press the glass of ice-cold milk to her forehead. Luckily, Holly didn't seem to notice where Leo's mind had drifted. She nibbled on her full lip and looked back and forth between her glass of milk and Leo's face. What? Leo asked.
I have a favor to ask, but I'm not sure if I should.
Leo stiffened. Great. Just when she had started to relax, she tried not to let her dismay show. Ask.
I was wondering... I feel silly asking, but...
Holly bit her poor lip again.
Would it be okay to ask you for an autograph?
Leo nearly started laughing. An autograph? That was all Holly wanted? The way she'd been stuttering and stammering, she had been prepared to be asked for money or for a favor such as introducing a wannabe musician friend to an exec from her record label. That was what people usually asked her for.
If you'd rather...
No, it's okay. It just surprised me. Holly looked at her over the rim of her glass.
You're surprised to be asked for an autograph? Come on. I've seen people stop you for an autograph several times. You must hear that question a dozen times every single day.
Yeah, but... forget it. She didn't want to admit her assumption. Slowly, it was getting through to her that Holly was different from the mooches who asked for money or other favors. Holly could have asked to be paid extra for all the additional things she did for Leo's parents, but she had never brought up the topic of money. Even though Leo had learned not to trust in appearances, she was starting to believe that Holly was exactly what she seemed to be, a genuinely nice and decent person.
So, do you have something to write on?
Leo quirked a grin.
Unless you want me to sign your boobs like some of my fans.
A hint of red crept into Holly's cheeks. She laughed, maybe a bit too loudly, as if the thought made her nervous.
No, thanks. Paper will do. Otherwise, it would be a little hard to hand over the autograph to my friend.
Oh, so it's not for you?
No.
Not a fan?
Leo managed to give the question a teasing inflection, but she had to admit that the answer meant something to her.
I liked your first album. Odd One Out, in particular, really struck a chord with me. I listened to it on auto-repeat for a week when it first came out.
That pleased Leo immensely, maybe because it didn't sound like the usual flattery.
She said the first album. What about the rest of my work?
You want an honest reply?
Ouch.
Leo grimaced.
That bad?
No, please don't think that. It's just... I don't like your newer stuff as much. I mean, the songs are all trendy, and they fit a certain, format, but...
Holly paused as if searching for the right words.
Well, it might sound stupid, but they have no real soul.
Wow.
Leo was stunned speechless. No one had come right out and told her something like that, ever. She was used to being fawned over. People usually told her what they thought she wanted to hear, or maybe they really liked her newer songs. Leo didn't. She had told her manager the same thing Holly had just commented on, but he had insisted that this kind of music was what her fans and the record label wanted.
God.
Groaning, Holly buried her face in her palms.
I'm sitting here in the middle of the night, having milk and scones with you in your parents' home, and to top it all, I insulted you.
No,
Leo said forcefully. Without pausing to think about it, she grabbed one of Holly's hands, pulled it away from her face, and squeezed it.
I'm not insulted. It's just pretty rare that anyone talks to me so openly.
Holly dropped the other hand to her lap and looked at her.
I'm sorry, I...
Don't you dare apologize.
She became aware that she was still holding Holly's hand and quickly let go.
I like it.
They sat in silence for a moment, with only the humming of the refrigerator as background noise. It wasn't an awkward silence, though.
Leo got up and snooped through her mother's kitchen in search of something to write on.
Finally, she found an unused greeting card in a drawer full of recipes and household tips her mother had cut out from magazines.
Will this do for the autograph?
Holly chuckled. It says happy birthday.
Yeah, well, maybe you can give it to your friend for their birthday.
Good idea. Her birthday is actually coming up next month.
Leo slid back onto her stool, clicked a pen, and gave Holly a questioning look.
So, who am I making this out for?
Her name is Meg, but could you make it out to Morden? We met each other on Tumblr, and that's her username, so the nickname stuck.
Morden?
Leo asked.
After the Solarian and Mass Effect?
Holly looked at her as if she had suddenly grown a pair of horns, like the Solarians.
You know Mass Effect? Does that mean you're a gamer?
I wouldn't go that far, but I play every now and then. My bassist got me hooked during our first tour when we were stuck on the tour bus for hours every day going from one city to the next.
Wow, Meg will be so excited when I tell her.
Holly paused.
Is it okay to tell her that?
When was the last time someone had been so considerate of her privacy? Leo couldn't remember. Even some of the people she had considered friends had blabbed details about her private life to the tabloids.
Oh yeah, that's just fine. So, your friend, she's a gamer?
Hardcore.
The corners of her eyes crinkled as Holly laughed.
She says Yennefer from The Witcher 3 is the only crush she's ever had.
Yen, really? I mean, she's hot and all, but I like Triss much better.
With a crooked grin, Leo added,
Guess I'm more into... Oh, geez.
She'd almost gotten herself into trouble. If she had finished that thought, Holly might have thought she was coming on to her. As nice and attractive as Holly was, getting involved with someone from Fair Oaks was the last thing Leo wanted.
Into what? Holly asked.
Redheads.
Healers.
As soon as she'd said it, she could have slapped herself. Holly was a nurse, so she could have been considered a healer, too. Luckily, Holly didn't seem to think anything of it. She continued sipping her milk. After secretly blowing out a breath, Leo picked up the pen again and wrote, Happy birthday and many butterfly kisses onto the birthday card, and then signed it. As an afterthought, she added, P.S. Triss is way cooler than Yen. When she was done, she held the card out to Holly, who took it carefully.
Thank you.
She studied the card.
Why did you pick a stage name? Why not just go with Leontine Blake?
It was my manager's idea. Leona Lewis had her debut album out shortly before I did, and he thought the names were too much alike. So we decided on Jenna, my middle name.
Bummer, Holly said. I've always thought Leontine is such a beautiful name.
The tips of Leo's ears began to burn. Man, was she blushing now just because Holly liked her name? She ignored it.
Yeah. I didn't like it much when I was growing up, but now I've come to appreciate it.
You didn't?
Leo shook her head.
Just one more thing that made me stick out like a sore thumb in this town.
Ah.
Holly nodded as if she understood exactly what she meant.
Plus, my father named me after his favorite opera singer, Leontine Price, and I wasn't into classical music at all.
Before Holly could answer, the baby monitor on the breakfast bar came to life with a demanding grunt from Leo's father.
"Beth!"
he called out. Even Leo could guess what that meant. He probably needed the bathroom. For a second, she considered offering to help him so that Holly could go to bed. But Holly squeezed her arm as if knowing what she was thinking.
"It's okay, I'll go."
She slid from the stool and walked to the door.
"Good night, and thanks again for the autograph."
Leo stared at her retreating back.
"You're welcome," she said into an empty room.
Chapter 8. When Leo had been growing up, her father's Steinway Baby Grand had always stood in the music room. Now it dominated the living room the same way her father had always dominated the house. Sunlight gleamed off its shiny surface, making Leo wonder if her mother still dusted it every day. Drawn to it, almost against her will, she put her hand on the lid. It felt warm and smooth. She hesitated, glanced over her shoulder, and when she saw that no one was around, she sat down on the piano bench. As a child, she had spent so many hours on this bench that it probably had grooves from her backside. After another glance over her shoulder, she lifted the lid and settled her fingers on the keys. She sat there for a long time without playing. Hesitantly, she tapped out a single note, and then played a D major scale to limber up her fingers. The piano was kept in good tune. Not that she had expected anything else. She knew her mother wanted her to play something classical, but she wasn't in the mood to cater to her parents' expectations. If they didn't accept her the way she was, that was their problem, and that included her sexual orientation and her choice in music. Almost without a conscious decision on her part, her fingers slid over the keys, coaxing the first notes of Odd One Out from the instrument. God, it had been some time since she'd last played. None of the songs she had performed during her world tour had her at the piano.
"Who do you think you are, Alicia Keys?"
her manager always said whenever she wanted to include a piano piece in her song list. So these days, her guitar and her voice were her main instruments.
"And my body," she mentally added, and let out a sigh.
More and more, it was all about the flashiest show, the sexiest costumes, and the most erotic dance moves. Here, in this house, it had always been just about the music, even if it was her father's style of music, and Leo had to admit it was very freeing. Odd One Out hadn't been one of her greatest hits, so she hadn't played it in years, but the melody and the lyrics quickly came back to her. With every note, the movement of her fingers became more controlled and nimble. Holly had been right. It was a good song. One of the last Leo had written on her own, without the input of her songwriting team. She let the emotions wash over her. When the last note faded, she sat there for a few minutes longer. This was it. This was how she wanted to feel playing her music. Too bad it couldn't always be this way.
"Why not?"
a voice in her head piped up. Before she could address the question, a creaking floorboard made her look up. Her mother stood in the doorway. The apron tied around her hips indicated that she'd been cooking.
"But don't stop. It was lovely."
The piano lid she'd been about to close almost slid from her fingers. Her mother had thought one of her songs was lovely? But then again, she had always been the more tolerant one of her parents.
"Nah, I'm done for the day. Just wanted to stretch my fingers a little."
She got up and squeezed past her. Her mother's disappointed gaze followed her, but Leo ignored it. After 13 months on stage, she wasn't in the mood to play for an audience, even an audience of one. The door to her father's room, which was closed most of the time, stood open for a change. When Leo went to walk past it, A sound from within the room stopped her. It was her father's voice. Had he called her name? She wasn't sure, so she stuck her head into the room. He was in his wheelchair, facing the window.
"Was there something you needed?"
Leo asked.
"Old,"
he said. She wished Holly was there to translate, but as far as Leo knew, she was upstairs somewhere, taking a break before lunch. Hesitantly, she circled the wheelchair so she could see his face.
What?
He didn't turn his head to look at her, but kept staring out the window.
No. Rust. Rusty.
He lifted his good hand and pointed over his shoulder in the direction of the living room.
What are you... Oh.
Understanding hit her like a bucket of ice water.
You mean my piano playing is pretty rusty?
He nodded.
Great.
The first time he really talked to her in ages, and it turned out he was criticizing her. She shook her head at herself.
Why did you expect anything else?
It had been like this for as long as she could remember.
Bush, cleaning, no, pruning, remember?
Oh, yeah. Leo remembered only too well what he had always told her in the past. Playing the piano was like pruning hedges. A little and often was the key. That was how he had urged her to practice every day.
Well, maybe if you live in a tiny little town with nothing else to do, you've got all the time in the world to prune your hedges every day. But when am I supposed to do that? When I'm on the road, it's a constant whirlwind of practice, dance rehearsals, sound checks, concerts, interviews, and after parties.
He turned his head in her direction and made an impatient motion with his left hand, probably to cut her off, but she continued. She had been silent for much too long already, and now it burst out of her with the force of water that had been freed from a dam.
You don't understand my life. You never did. You never made the slightest effort to. Can't you be even a tiny bit proud for once instead of criticizing everything I do?
He just stared at her, either unable or unwilling to answer.
Why am I even talking to you?
She muttered and marched to the door. No sound came from behind her. She realized she was straining her ears, waiting for him to apologize or to say something more positive, and a wave of anger at herself swept over her. Why had she even come here, risking her career? Had she really expected things to change, that he might tell her how proud he was or how much he loved her? She might as well expect him to get up and walk across the room all on his own. Taking the stairs two at a time, she rushed to her room and slammed the door shut behind her. The door to Leo's room rattled in its frame. Holly peeked out of her room, but there was nothing to see except for the closed door. Exhaling, she sat back down on her bed, reached over to her nightstand, and turned the volume on the baby monitor back up. When Gil had strained to get out the first words, Holly had rushed to the door, thinking he needed some help. But then she'd realized that he wasn't talking to her. He'd been talking to his daughter. As far as she knew, they hadn't talked since Leo was back. She would have loved to know what they were saying to each other, but she didn't want to disrespect either of them by listening in, so she had turned down the volume on the receiver until she couldn't understand their words anymore. Judging by the way Leo had slammed her door, the conversation hadn't gone too well.
Should I...
She hesitated, remembering her resolution to act like a professional nurse and nothing else toward Leo, but her compassion urged her up from the bed. Whatever had happened between Leo and her father, Holly knew instinctively that Leo wouldn't talk to her mother about it. She slid the receiver into her back pocket, tiptoed across the hall, and paused in front of Leo's door. Just as she was debating with herself whether she really should knock, the door opened and Leo came storming out. Once again, they collided with each other and ended up in an almost embrace, clutching each other to keep their balance.
"Are you okay?"
Holly whispered, tightly holding on to Leo, who in turn rested her hands on Holly's hips. Leo's perfume, orange blossoms, almond, and a barely there touch of musk, teased her senses.
Yeah.
Was it just her imagination, or was Leo's voice even huskier than usual? Leo forced a smile.
It's not like you're a 300-pound defensive tackle.
No, I meant... I heard you slam your door. Did something happen?